Hello, I'm Dr. Jonathan Barker, pastor here at Amazing Grace Baptist Church in Mount Airy, North Carolina. I would like to personally thank you for taking out time today to tune in to our preaching podcast. We hope that this message will be a great encouragement to your heart today.
2 Peter chapter number 1, we began looking at this and growing as a Christian and growing in the Lord and knowing more about the Lord. And it's something that we always ought to be striving to do, is to grow in the knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Matter of fact, verse number 18 of chapter 3 says this, "But grow in grace and in the knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. To Him be glory both now and forever. Amen." And hopefully over the next few months we'll get to chapter 3 verse number 18. But I'm just going to take my time going through this winter and look at this little book. Now look with me. I want you to look in verse. Let's go back and pick up in verse number 5. The Bible said this. I'm just going to let you remain seated because I'm going to talk as I go through this. "And besides this, giving all diligence, add to your faith." Add to your faith. Now, faith is where it all started at. That's what we exercised faith in Christ. We put our faith in Him to save us and to forgive us of our sins and to come into our heart and save us. And what He is saying to us is this. Matter of fact, verse number 1, "Simon Peter, a servant and an apostle of Jesus Christ, to them that have obtained like precious faith with us through the righteousness of God in our Savior Jesus Christ." He is dealing with us as the saved. And faith is where it all started at. The night that I got saved, I by faith put my trust in the Lord Jesus Christ. Now He says this to us. He says, "Add to your faith," in verse number 5. "And besides this, giving all diligence to add to your faith." And He says this, "Virtue," "and to virtue knowledge, and to knowledge temperance, and to temperance patience, and to patience godliness, and to godliness brotherly kindness, and to brotherly kindness charity." Then here's what He says in verse number 8. "For if these things be in you and abound, not just that they're in you, but they are abounding in you, they make you that ye shall neither be barren nor unfruitful in the knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ." Now, I'm interested in that word "abound" again tonight. I was studying this week, and matter of fact, yesterday morning, I was watching the sun come up there at the coast that we was at. You know, Baptist goes to the coast and Methodist goes to the beach. But anyway, we was at the beach and I was sitting there watching the sun come up at the beach, and I was thinking about these verses, and I was actually studying verse number 9. "But he that lacketh these things," and I just couldn't get away from verse number 8, Brother Aaron, "that abound," just kept coming to me, abounding in it. That word "abound" means this, to exist in abundance, to exist in abundance. So all of these things, this virtue, knowledge, temperance, patience, godliness, brotherly kindness, charity, all of these things need to exist in an abundance in our life. Not that we have a little bit of virtue, that moral goodness, or a little bit of knowledge, a clearer certain perception of that which exists. Not just a little bit of self-control, that temperance. Not just a little bit of patience, that steadfastness, constancy, endurance. And that constancy means this, a fixedness, a standing firm. So not just a little bit of that patience, not just a little bit of godliness, not just a little bit of brotherly kindness, not just a little bit of charity, but that they abound in us. It's to exist with abundance. To exist with abundance. You know, sometimes one of the, as I look at these and as I think about these, sometimes one of the hardest in all of these to practice, now give me a minute to explain, is brotherly kindness. It's brother, you say, "Well, preacher, why in the world would you say that?" Because you know who is the world's worst for holding a grudge? the fundamental independent Baptist. If some, now y'all might as well say amen. And if you'll say amen, you that don't have kids, you'll get out of here early tonight, all right? If you don't say amen, they might get out and we still be in here. But you think about how many times does somebody leave a church? How many times does somebody get upset? That brotherly kind of, what is it? In the New Testament, it's the love which Christians cherish for each other as brethren. And he's saying this to us tonight. All of these things don't just need to exist in our life, but they need to exist in abundance. We need to have an abundance of that. There's one thing that I struggle with. And I guess it's a good thing, Brother Joe, that I struggle with this, and that's holding a grudge. I've just never been able to. Now, I may not forget what somebody does. They may not be my best friend, but my wife will testify to what I'm fixing to say. Some of the people that has treated me the dirtiest, I still love them. I still talk to them. I still go around them every once in a while. It's not that I'm a spiritual person, but I'm trying to practice what the Word of God said. And for us to grow as Christians, these things just can't come up every once in a while in our life. These things have to exist in abundance in our life. Miss Bethany, yesterday, Miss Bethany got called to preach. Isn't that right, Miss Bethany? She said, no. Miss Bethany yesterday shared a devotion with us. And it was a little video devotion that she sent us. And man, I'm telling you, it was great. And Miss Bethany was talking about, she said this, she said, I told you I was going to give you credit for this, didn't I? She said, I want to talk to you about wrestling today. And I thought, of all people talking about wrestling, Miss Bethany is not the person I would say that would be talking about wrestling. But she began to talk about wrestling in the Word of God. In the New Testament, it's there one time, for we wrestle not against flesh and blood. But in the Old Testament, it's only mentioned three different times, and two of those three times, it's mentioned in the same chapter. And does anybody know who it's talking about? Jacob. That's exactly right. It's talking about Jacob and the angel of the Lord wrestling with Jacob. And here's what Miss Bethany said. Miss Bethany said, having our relationship, now she didn't say in these exact words, but having our relationship with the Lord, being close to God and walking in the fellowship of God, is not something that God ever intended for us to wrestle with. Walking in the fellowship of the Lord and growing as a Christian, our life does not have to be a daily wrestling match. Are you hearing me tonight? It should be a daily life of submission to the Lord and living in His presence and living in the abundance of the joy that He gives us. Now, here's what I thought about tonight. And I want to give you this just simple little topical thought right here on this. How to make these things abound in our life. We know what they are. We know what we're supposed to do. I don't mean this ugly. I don't mean it derogatory towards nobody. But it's Wednesday night. It's the people that are faithful. It's the people that's here. It's the, if you want to say it this way, the cream of the crop. You know what you're supposed to, you know you're supposed to go to church. You know you were supposed to do this, this, and this. We know how we live. We're supposed to live. We know what we're supposed to do. But I want to say something to you. How do we make these things abound in our life? How do we make this faith and virtue and knowledge and temperance and patience and godliness and brotherly kindness and charity. How do we make that abound in our life? Well, I wrote down four things that I want to give you tonight on a little continuing education class, all right? Number one, to make these things abound in our life, number one, there must be abiding in the sanctuary. There must be abiding in the sanctuary. That word abiding means this. It means dwelling, remaining, continuing. You know what he is saying tonight? He's saying that we should, in Psalms 122, verse number 1, he said, I was glad when they said to me, let us go into the house of the Lord. What did he say in Hebrews 10:25? Let us not forsake the assembling of ourselves together. The assembling of ourselves together. If we are going to continue in the things of God, if we are going to grow in the things of God, then we must abide in the sanctuary. Now, I understand something. I understand that the Lord can meet with us at any place, at any time. He can meet with us going up the road. He can meet with us sitting at the house. I understand that in the Old Testament, the Holy Ghost dwelt in the tabernacle, but in the New Testament, He dwells in the believer. It was a building in the Old Testament, but it's in the believer today. I understand that the Holy Spirit indwells within me. I understand that there's been times in the middle of the woods that me and God has had a great time. There's been times riding up the road in a tractor that me and God has had a great time. There's been times sitting at the house that me and God has had a great time. But I can say this, there's no substitute for gathering together with my brothers and sisters in Christ and worshiping the Lord. And worshiping the Lord. Probably some of the greatest times I've ever had in my prayer life has been by myself in the middle of the woods. Nobody else around. But can I say something? I still have to have the fellowship of the believers tonight. And if we're going to grow in the grace and the knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ, if these things are going to abound in our life, I say, number one, there must be abiding in the sanctuary. There must be abiding in the sanctuary. I completely understand that not everybody will be here every time the doors is open. There's sickness, sometimes we need a break away, and we've had a lot going on, just not here at the church, but other things, and it just come to a place that I just told myself, I said, we just need to get away a day or two. We need to clear our mind a day or two. I completely understand that, but I want to say something to you. That is not the normal. It is not the normal for me not to go to the house of God. We go to the house of God. We meet with each other even when we're traveling. But there's something about the church house, man. There's something about the church house. The other night in revival, Brother Davis was here. And they was going to sing for us. And the reason I did like that is because he sat right back there about where Brother Brian's at. But anyway, I was back there in my study. And Brother Matthew White came back there. And he said, Brother Davis is here. And I said, that's his father-in-law. I said, Brother Matthew, go get him and tell him to come back here. And he walked back out of my office. And usually on a Wednesday night, there's usually five or six men sitting around in my office or standing around, and we're just cutting up, shooting the bull, having a good time. We need that, church. We need that. She said, preacher, how is these things going to abound in my life? You've got to abide in the sanctuary, man. Have you ever had a bad day? Have you ever had a bad week? And then get to church on Sunday morning. The devil tries his best to keep you away. And then show up on Sunday morning. And then just all of a sudden, out of nowhere, the wind begins to blow. The choir will start singing, man. Brother Matt will get one of them in the middle of one of the songs. And you know, praise God, it's something's about to happen. And all of a sudden, all the cares of this life is gone. All of a sudden, all the problems that you dealt with at work that week is gone. All of a sudden, all the trouble from the school is gone. All of a sudden, everything that you've been dealing with, the storms, the troubles, the vows, all of it's gone. And all of a sudden, for a few moments, you're sitting in the presence of a holy God. Whenever you leave, man, your battery is charged one more time. Why? Because you abided in the sanctuary. You abided in the sanctuary. So if these things that Peter is instructing us to add to our life, if they're going to abound, how will they abound? Well, number one, there must be an abiding in the sanctuary. Number two tonight, there must not only be abiding in the sanctuary, but can I say this to you tonight? Number two, if these things is going to be in you and abound, you're going to have to be anchored in the Scriptures. You're going to have to be anchored in the Word of God. This book is not up for discussion. It's not up for discussion. And I know we live feed, and if I get flack over this, I'll just get flack over it. I really don't care. This Bible's not up for debate. Not long ago, there was this big Bible debate and brought people in that's not what we are, that don't believe the way we are, and in what's supposed to be a solid fundamental church. You know what that does? That does nothing but sow seeds of doubt in young Christians' mind. It's not here to be debated. The Word of God is not up for discussion. This old King James Bible don't need to be debated. It's right, it's true, it's holy, it's pure. We don't need to debate this. We need to be anchored in this right here. We need to be anchored in it. I'm going to tell you what's got me through the storms of life. It's this book that I hold in my hand right here. It's the Word of God tonight. It's the Word of God tonight. Listen to what he said in Psalms 119:11. He said, "Thy word have I hid in my heart that I might not sin against thee." Preacher, how is my patience going to be right? How is my virtue going to be right? How is my godliness going to be right? How is those things going to abound in my life? You're going to have to learn to hide this word deep down inside your heart. You're not always going to have a copy of it in your hand. And there's going to be temptations that come your way. Are you hearing the preacher tonight? There's going to be temptations that come your way down at the job, sir, down at the job mound, down at the schoolhouse. And we don't always have a copy of His Word in our hand, but we can have it in our heart tonight, being anchored in the Word of God. Listen to what he said in Psalms 37, verse number 31. The law of his God is in his heart. None of his steps shall slide. You know what he's saying? He's saying he's anchored in that. He's anchored in that. I thought about fishing, man, and I enjoy fishing. Matter of fact, Olivia and I was talking this week, and I told her, I said, if there's one thing that I really miss that I used to have, and I said, that's a bass boat. And I said, maybe one day the Lord will let us have another. But there was times that we would be crappy fishing, Brother Aaron, and we'd pull up somewhere and we'd drop an anchor. And you know what that anchor would do? You'd make sure that it would hit a good rocky ground, a good solid foundation, and that anchor would be there, and you would tie that anchor off. And you know what that anchor would do? Whenever the wind blew, you stayed in the same place. Whenever the current went up and down, you know what? You stayed in the same place. It anchors you today. There is a thing called spot lock that is on trolling motors. It links in with your graph on the front of your boat. And when you get to where you want to fish at, you drop that trolling motor. If you're in 5 foot of water, or if you're in 500 foot of water, and you hit that point, you mark it, and you hit a thing on your trolling motor, and it's spot locked right there. No matter how hard the wind blows, no matter how hard the current is, no matter what happens, it holds you in that place. You know what it is? It's just a digital anchor. That's what it is. And I'm going to tell you something. The wind will blow. Temptation will come. Storms of life will come. People will let you down. But honey, get anchored in the Word of God, and these things will abound in your life. It's being anchored in His Word tonight. Being anchored in His Word. Being anchored in His Word. I still remember when I was a boy and I'd done something wrong, some parents would make their kids write sentences. My mom would make me write Bible verses. And some of those verses, Brother Aaron, you're smiling like you had the privilege of that also. Some of those verses are still instilled in my mind today. I remember at the great Boonville Christian Academy back in the early and late 90s, you know what they made us do? They made us memorize Bible verses. We had scripture memorization that we had to do. And you know what? There's a lot of times, I can't tell you when I memorize that verse, but it'll come to my mind and I'll quote it, and my mind runs back to BCA. No doubt, Brother Matt, that's probably where I learned that verse was at. Boonville Christian. What is it? What was they doing? They was teaching us to be anchored in the Word of God. To be anchored. I want you to hear me tonight. If this book says it's wrong, it's wrong. If this book says it's right, it's right. If this book says stay away from it, stay away from it. If this book says get closer to it, get closer to it. Just be anchored in this book tonight. Not only do I see this, I see that for these things to abound in our life in 2 Peter, there has to be an abiding in the sanctuary. There has to be an anchoring in the scriptures. But then can I show you this, number three tonight? There has to be around the clock supplication. There, I told you this is simple tonight. This is continuing education. Con Ed is what we would call it at the fire department. It's just reviewing what we already know. There has to be around the clock supplication. What did he say? You know the verse, 1 Thessalonians 5:17, to pray without ceasing. To pray without ceasing. I'll never, and I know I've said it several times, but I'll never forget it. It's stuck in my mind. There's not hardly a day in my life this don't go through my mind anymore. My dad, years ago, 2 or 3 years ago, when he first come to the church, and we done that Daniel fast, the first time he was here for it, he thought he was going to die, but he didn't. And here's what he said about halfway through that Daniel fast. He said, I'm trying my best to live in a spirit of prayer. He said, these days, these 21 days, I'm trying my best to live in a spirit of prayer. You know what he was saying? He was saying this, I have around the clock supplication. Around the clock supplication. So many times we make this statement, I don't have time to pray. I'm trying to find more time to pray. Man, there's a lot of time we can pray that we don't. There's so much time that we can pray that we don't. Amen. I love to start my day with some verses. And then a lot of times, I'll listen to a book. It's not always a commentator. Matter of fact, I don't listen to commentaries on the Word of God. Usually if I'm listening to a book, 99.999% of the time it's a book on leadership is what I'm listening to. And I listen to a chapter in a book. Boy, I'm listening to a good one right now, Brother Brian told me about. Man, it is so... Miss Tina, have you started it yet? Y'all pray for Miss Tina. She needs to read this book so bad, and she thinks me and her husband is just dumb that we don't know nothing. We're trying to help her. But anyway, I try to listen to that, and then I'll get my day started. Of course, I'll talk to the Lord a little while, and I'll get my day started. You know, there's a lot of times that we're riding down the road going somewhere that we're listening to the radio, that all we have to do is turn, you don't even have to turn the radio off. There's a lot of times that I pray listening to music. There's a lot of, matter of fact, a lot of times if I'm praying by myself, I am listening to some good godly hymns. Brother Milton Taylor taught me that, and I'm listening to that. But going down the road, man, we can talk to the Lord. You don't have to close your eyes. I suggest you don't. Brother Taylor says, Brother Barker, some of the best prayer meetings I ever have is looking over the stern wheel in a Chevrolet truck. You know what he's saying? He said, man, as I drive, I pray. And I've heard him tell us that I don't know how many times. He'll say, preacher, I pray going down the road. He'll say, I pray, and he'll start calling names. This is who I'm praying for. And he'll tell me my name, and Leslie, and Madeline, and Olivia, and Victoria. I remember one night we were sitting at Cracker Barrel, and he had told 3 or 4 jokes. He's always got a joke to tell. Man, I love Brother Taylor. He had told 3 or 4 jokes, and we was getting ready to leave, and Brother Ryan and Miss Megan and their little boy and Brother Heath and Miss Morgan and Colt was with us. It was before Kyler. Colt was with us. And Brother Taylor is always writing. if you'll look, he's always got a notebook with him. And when he's sitting in church while we're singing, he's sitting down and he's constantly writing. He's just constantly writing things. And he keeps things in his pocket. He'll keep paper in his pocket. And he pulled out a whole bunch of paper. That's a gift card in my pocket. The pages. Praise God. The Lord's rewarding me for my efforts tonight. And he pulled out that bundle of... I don't want to write on that. He pulled out that bundle of paper and he looked at Brother Heath and he said, "Now what was your name again?" And Brother Heath just kindly looked at it and he said, "Heath." He said, "Now what your wife's name?" He said, "Morgan." He said, "What that little boy's name?" He said, "Colt." He wrote them all down. He looked at Ryan. He said, "What y'all's name?" He wrote it all down. And Brother Taylor put that pen back in his pocket and took that wad of papers and wadded it back up again, stuffed it down in his pocket. And we started to leave, and he looked at him and he said, "Gonna pray for y'all." Now I guarantee you, he knows exactly where that piece of paper's at, and he calls their name. There's not a doubt in my mind. He calls their... Listen, church, we can be around the clock in supplication. We can pray a whole lot more than we do. Daddy says, if you want to see things happen, pray, man. You said, "Preacher, what I do about this?" Well, the first thing we do is pray about it, man. Get a hold of the Lord. Let me give you one more thing. How do we abound in virtue and knowledge and patience and temperance and godliness? Well, by abiding in the sanctuary, by being anchored in the Scripture, by being around the clock in supplication. But can I give you one more tonight? I thought about this one, and I was coming up the road today, and me and Miss Leslie was talking, and we was throwing words back and forth with each other. Not that we was fussing, we was talking about the message tonight. And I told her, I said, "I'm trying to find an A and an S to go with watch out for the people you're around." And man, we went back and forth and back and forth. We never thought about nothing. And I got here, and as soon as I got home, I jumped in the shower and I had to run to the sheriff's office to do a couple things. And I come back and I sat down. So I finally got it. Here's number four. If these things are going to be in you and abound, you're going to have to be attentive to society. You're going to have to keep your eye out on what's going on around you. Boy, I needed more than two amens on that. You're going to have to keep your eyes peeled to what's going on around you. You don't have to watch who you're around. You ever met a joy sucker? Now, just being honest, I think that they think their calling in life is to suck joy out of everybody. Nothing's ever good enough. They've never been happy a day in their life. They're miserable, and they want everybody else around them to be miserable. And you ask them how they're doing one time, and that's it. Because you know better to ever ask. Is everybody all right tonight? And I'm not saying it's any of y'all. But have you ever met anybody like that, Miss Shannon? You knew better. They're pointing at Taylor. Taylor, you're not like that. They need to practice charity and brotherly kindness. They need to practice what I'm preaching. They need to abound in some of these things because they're... I don't... Rustan said, "Preach on." But you meet that person and man, they just suck the life out of you. I'm going to tell you, if these things are going to abound in our life, you know what I have to do? I have to put the people that has these things abounding in their life around me. Around me. You remember the story in 2 Samuel, don't you? 2 Samuel chapter number 13. Amnon. And Amnon had the wrong thoughts towards his sister Tamar. And Amnon had a friend whose name was, does anybody remember? Jonadab. Amnon had a friend whose name was Jonadab. You know what Jonadab done? Jonadab convinced Amnon to make himself sick and to lay down on the bed. And when Tamar came in to rape it, and can I just say this? That was his half-sister, by the way. What a sick human being. To rape his own flesh and blood. Are you hearing me? Let me tell you what caused that to happen. I understand Amnon made the choice himself, but he definitely was not careful about who he was allowing around him. And I want to say something to you now. I'll talk to anybody. Are you hearing? I'll talk to anybody. I'll be kind to anybody. I'll love a drunk. I'll love a dope addict. I'll try my best to be there for them. I understand addiction. I've never been there, but I've studied about it. I understand those things. I'll love them. I'll try my best to be good to them. But look, I just can't go to their house and hang out 3 nights a week. Let me tell you what's going to happen. It's going to suck all of those things that I'm trying to get to abound in my life. Adam, you said, preacher, how do we reach them? We tell them about the Word of God. We invite them to the house of God. And then we around the clock stay in supplication for them. We have to pray them in. Boy, you got to be attentive to society. You got to be attentive to society. There's some people. Miss Tina, do you care to come start playing softly? There's some people that's young people that goes to church, that's faithful to church. I don't let my kids hang out with them. I'm not saying it's anybody here. I don't let my kids hang out with them. Let me tell you the reason why. They ain't what I am. Boy, it's real quiet tonight. I mean, this Wednesday night, y'all ought to be hollering at. Y'all ought to be seeking me on. I'm just not going to let them, Brother Aaron. Because you are right now, or you soon will be what your friends are. Anybody know what this past Monday was? It's a national holiday. Anybody know what it was? No. It's opening day of bear season. And for years, this past Monday, Tuesday, and even today and tomorrow and Friday, it's a big time, man. We was leaving Sunday night after church. We was having dog boxes packed, peanut butters and jellies. Somebody say amen for peanut butter and jelly. You've never had a peanut butter and jelly taste good till you've walked about 10 miles across Slick Rock in Graham County, North Carolina, and pack dogs in on a good bear fight. Do you know what would happen? We'd roll out up there, come about Friday, Thursday or Friday, just depending on how the week was going. I'd come back in, couldn't tell what color my truck was. Y'all with me? Big antenna stuck right on the hood of it, so your radio would work that you talked on while you was hunting. I'd come back in, maybe it had a shower, maybe not, just depending on how camp was going. And I'd say, what are you doing? And Leslie would go, I sure can tell you've been in Robbinsville. Did you catch it, Yuns? Let me tell you the reason why. That's the way they talk in Robbinsville. They don't have vehicles, they have rigs. They don't drink drinks, they drink coats or dokes is what they call it. They don't have hats, they have derbies. Are you with me? Hey, where's your rig at? 1,427 miles back out yonder somewhere when I jumped out of it. I hope somebody turned it off and locked the doors because we're trying to get some dogs on this track right here. Where's Yun's rigs at? Let me tell you the reason why. You've been around those people. You've been around those people. Now, I want to say something. As parents tonight, I want nobody to fall out with me right now, but we're fixing to put the rubber where the meets the road here for about just 2 or 3 minutes, and then I'm going home. As parents, it's my responsibility to be cautious who my children are around and what they are around and what they hear. And what they hear. You pump the music of this world in your children, and you wonder why they got that little attitude they got every once in a while. You wonder why they act the way they do every once in a while. Amen, Brother Jonathan. You got to be attentive to society. Attentive to society. How is these things going to abound in your life? There was a young preacher preaching one time, and here's what he said. Here's what he said. He said, I would go to church. And he said, while I was at church, he said, man, God would help me and God would stir my heart. And he said, I'd walk back out and I'd get in my vehicle and I would start down the road and the music of this world would be playing. And he said, before I ever got home, every bit of the help, Brother Tim, here's what he said, every bit of the help that I got at church would be gone before I ever got home. Because he wasn't attentive to the society that he was around. It's not just the people that you see personally. It's what you listen to. It's what you watch. What you take in. We got to be attentive to that.